Praise God. Hallelujah. Samuel, please. Man, God's good. I tell you, I'm not worried. I am not worried. Not one ounce. I've been asking God, give me faith. That's a gift of the Holy Ghost, Brother John. The gift of faith. When there's times when you need that, for lack of a better word here tonight, that supernatural experience that goes just beyond believing, but just comes down in, that grips the heart, that puts a confidence that can't be swayed. And I want you to know, I felt that about this case with Charmaine. I felt it. God's in control. I did not leave there, not one ounce disheartened. I was disappointed that we didn't have the result for the day. I was waiting for them to say, it's all done, it's over, everything's good, here's your card, goodbye, have a good life. That's what I was hoping for. It didn't happen that way, but I'm not discouraged.
Amen.
Amen. That's where we'll lose it. When we allow fear and worry to overwhelm us. 1 Samuel, please, chapter 16. I'd like to begin in verse 14, please. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold how an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man. A man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Can you say amen to the word of God?
Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to continue this message that I have been sharing on Wednesday nights for a while now. I asked Brother Woods to come out of the revival in Chocowinity. I said, preacher, can I have a night off? I'm tired. I need a little break. I ought to try to get caught up. If you were with us in Chocowinity, many of you were, I appreciate it. Thank you for your time to be there. Those that were not, they was actually, thanks to Brother Steve Bonner, they actually got the whole week on tape. We're going to talk to Brother Donnie when I get opportunity, see if we can get some of those copies to bring here to hand out, because on Wednesday night, most of our folks was able to come and be there, but there was some that wasn't able to be in Chocowinity on Wednesday night with us that week. And I continued that message that week on David and Saul, and I actually preached the concept of the unrepentant. I dealt with Saul's unrepentance and what it is to be an unrepentant man, and what is the traits, what will be the steps, what will be the direction that a man that is unwilling to repent, what will he go in, where will it be the path that will be laid out before him. I want you to know there are consequences to every action. Every step you take, every desire, everything you say, everything you think, every place you go has a consequence. It has an action and a reaction that will happen in your life. It will set a course for the way things are going to go. And we need to be men of repentance. We need to be men that when we fail, we make it right. Let me rephrase. That if we fail, not when we fail, that if we fail, we make it right. We're not men to set out to fail. That's not our goal. That's not our position. But if we do, we're willing to make it right. And the next sermon would actually be that of David's part of a repentant man. But in light of what God has been doing in our church and the Spirit of God moving, have you been enjoying it?
Yeah. Amen.
Hasn't it been good? Hasn't the refreshing from the presence of God been good? But I'd like to ask you a question. Has there also not in those times been moments of struggle? It seems in past times in our church, I can remember a few years back when the Holy Ghost fell, Brother John, and it just seemed like one glorious power that just moved and swept, and it was, there might be a little low and a little lull while God let our natural bodies get a breath, and then He would do it again. But now it seems like we get a glory and we got to fight for the next one, and then you fight through it and you got to get another one, and then you get a little lull and you have to fight to get through it. I don't know about you, but I want to keep fighting.
Amen.
In light of what God has been doing, I wish to, if I can, with your permission tonight, and probably if you don't give it to me, too bad. I'd like to skip that message on David to come back to it later, and I'd like to share this idea. I've been dealing with David being a mighty valiant man, and I'd like to go to this next concept, this next character trait of David as a man of war. As a man of war. I'd like to look at David's life. I've dealt a lot. I should have really titled this sermon, The Life or the Traits or Lessons from Saul and David, because that's what it's been. It's been a lot about Saul and a lot about David. Not David only, comparing the two, because if you look at them, there are two extremes of the spectrum. Here's Saul that does everything wrong, and David that does wrong but makes it right. There's where you are. There's the two differences when men are unwilling to fix it. Well, Saul, from the get-go, not dealing a lot with Saul tonight, but from the get-go, Saul was not willing to do what the occasion demands. You remember that message? Brother Messer preached to us. Powerful message about the life of Saul from the beginning. How that God had anointed him king, but when it come time for Saul to actually be anointed king and receive the crown, he's hiding away. During his coronation experience, the first time that it takes place in the kingdom of the Jews, Saul's hiding among the stuff. He's not a man that was willing to do what the occasion demands. You can see it all through his life. Almost every experience, when Jonathan's taking the hill, Saul's sitting back idle. When Saul should be waiting, he's offering sacrifice. Oh, Saul seems to continually go the wrong way, but when it comes to war, Saul's always in the background. Yeah. It's Jonathan that's taking the hill. Right. When it comes to Goliath, it's David that has to go on the battle. Where's King Saul? Here's the man of God, a mighty man that God has anointed king, and he ain't willing to fight, Brother John. He's not willing to get engaged. He's not willing to get into the paddle and say, I need to do my part. This is my job. This is what I've been anointed to do. And if God's with me, we'll win. Too often we're like Saul, and we're not willing to engage the battle. We know God's delivered us. We know God has saved us. We know God has touched us. We know God. But when it comes time to fight, we're willing to sit back and be idle. Go ahead. I wish to bring it to some practical application, God willing, tonight. Because the last time I looked, there ain't none of us has ever looked physically fought a Goliath. Have you? Maybe in some of your old younger days, there might have been some folks. I see some smiles out there. So maybe some of you can say, well, I felt like a few times I have. But I want you to know it wasn't a religious fight. It was probably some selfish reason you were there and brought you to that circumstance. But here's the thing. How long's it been? And the fact is, we fight a lot of spiritual Goliaths. Why can I say that? I'm going to get to it. Just a little prelude here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not carnal as much as it is spiritual. We've got battles, we've got giants, we've got demons that forever exceed the Goliaths. And we need to fight. We need to get in, we need to engage. But we're like Saul. When it comes time to spiritually fight, we set back idle. And we get among our stuff. David was a man of war. If you notice, when this proclamation of David, this account of David's life was given, David was still a sheep herder. David is still among his sheep. David is a young man. He is not a soldier. David is not a man, if I can put it this way, of war as the standards of war were. He was a shepherd, Brother John. But yet when this proclamation, when this account of David came, when they said, we know a man that is among the sheep, go get him from among the sheep, he is a man of war. But he ain't never seen a battle. David's never been to a war. On purpose, I have avoided the final story, the final half of the battle with Goliath because of this message. I would like to go to that tonight. I shared the first half where David left because his father told him to get the rations, get the provisions to take to his brothers. And I shared how David had taken those rations. And when he gets there, his brothers ain't happy. He hears old Goliath walk out on the scene. He comes out there and begins to defy the God of Israel. He begins to mock Israel. He begins to mock God. And David cries out, what shall be done for the man that takes this reproach from Israel? Now his brothers disdain him. They hate him. David's coming up here. You've just left all that. The accusations come. Done preached you that. Done shared that part of the message. But where I left off in verse 31 of chapter 17, I'd like to take up tonight. I'd like to just read it tonight if I can. I'm not going to get in no hurry. I haven't been in a hurry this whole sermon, just kind of taking my time. David shows up, asks what is to be done. Is there a cause? Verse 29. And he turns to the people and he tells them again and again, what have I done? Somebody has to take care of this problem. And verse 31 says, and when these words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a what? Ain't that something? From his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he defileth the armies of the living God. David has just gave his pedigree. When they tell Saul that there's a man that's down in the city of Bethlehem, he's a cunning man, he's a mighty valiant man, and he is a man of war. David's reputation has far exceeded him already. The story, when it comes time for David to tell where his battlefield experience comes from, and Saul, who has already been told that this young man is a man of war, he doesn't acknowledge him as such. He doesn't see him for what God has called him to be and what God has made him. But the word has gotten out. There's a young man down in Bethlehem that when he's in charge of the sheep, when someone comes against him, they ain't going to make it. He's a man of war. He's got a warlike mentality that when people or things or animals comes against what he's protecting, he's going to fight for it. He's not one willing to sit back idle. He's willing to get up, go after the lion, go after the bear, slew them. Why? To protect his sheep. They are under his care. They are under his rule. They are under his protection, Brother John. And his job was to fight for them. But not a hireling. When the sheep, when the wolf comes, they'll run away. They'll leave the sheep exposed. They'll leave them for prey among the wolves. But David wasn't a man to run. David wasn't a man to turn his back away from what God had placed under his care. We have men who are not willing to fight for their family. Or to stand up for what is right any longer, Brother John. When God places them in a body, they're not willing to do what it takes to provide for that body. I want you to know that it's important to be in the house of God, because it lets the devil know, I've got something worth fighting for. I got a church and a church family that I want to lift up. I want to encourage by my presence. I want to fight for them. There's more going on behind the scenes so often than I think we think there is. And we need to be willing to fight. I want to ask you a question. What would have been if David would have just delayed a little while? If he'd have been late to get there when that lion and bear showed up, what do you think would have happened? They'd have died. That's what would have happened. He'd have killed them. But yet we show up late and it doesn't seem to bother us. We don't show up on the scene. We wait for a long time. We'll go to church. We'll wait all week. Something happens in our family. A problem befalls. Our children are in chaos. And it happens on Monday. We'll wait till Sunday to tell the church to pray for them. What happened to fighting? What happened to digging in for the things that we need to do? The responsibility that is laid on our shoulders to be on time, to be there, to do what we need to do, to fight for what's right. God has been doing something among us. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad for those little quiet times, those little hard times we've been having. Because this gave an opportunity for Brother Woods to interject some points to us that we need to hear. Some little battle cries that are raging in our ears and roaring in our ears that we need to get up and fight. That we need to stand idle. We need to get up, lift our hands. I want you to know it takes effort to do that. When you're in the battlefield, David being lazy, sitting down, doing nothing, wouldn't have saved his sheep. He had to get up. You go through all the war heroes that's ever been, Brother John. They had a mission to protect. They had a platoon to protect. They had a country to protect. What did they do? They didn't just go and sit down idle with their guns and just haphazardly work and carry it around. They fired it at the enemy. It takes work to overcome the enemy. It takes work to fight. But yet, I don't think we see that in the church. We just see him, and I'm telling you, I'm seeing a difference. I want you to know that tonight. I'm seeing some energy being put forward. There's some hands being raised. There's some voices that are being lifted. There's some emotions that are being expressed. Do you think people in war are motionless? No, sir. It's impossible to win a fight by not pulling the trigger. Plain and simple. You know how much pressure it takes to stop a man? 2 pounds, because that's what it takes to pull the trigger. 2 pounds of pressure. But you still got to do it.
Right.
Somebody's got to aim the gun. Let me put it this way. Somebody's got to sit at the computer and direct the drone. That's about where we are these days. But the fact is, somebody's got to make the bomb. Somebody's got to build the plane. Somebody's got to labor. It doesn't happen by being idle. And the only way we're going to win in this church is by participation. I'm going to drill it home tonight because that's where we are. You're going to hear it a lot tonight. We have got to get up and fight. Amen. Let's go on to the New Testament. You've heard that story a lot. The end result is old Goliath gets his head chopped off. End of story. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you may get tired of hearing these passages because they're read a lot. You've heard it preached countless times. But I'm telling you, we're in a war. God right now is encouraging us to fight. That's what's happening in our Sunday services. God has been giving us moves of His Spirit, but in those moves, there have been strong admonitions of get up and fight. Express yourself. Share. God's told us He wants to do it. God has told us He wants to move, but we've got to do it. What have we got to do? First thing you have to see is we have an enemy. For our flesh is not, fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. It is against powers. Literally, it is against those judges in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's what these words mean. Powers, it means magistrates, judges, rulers, civil judges. How are those judges controlled? He tells us. Against the rulers of darkness. Now we know where it comes from. That men that don't do God's will are governed by the devil. Darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness. There He lets us know what there is in high places. Then He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God. All of these are instruments of spiritual warfare. How much have you studied the truth? How much are you putting into it to learn more about it? You want to know how much you know? Wait till somebody asks you about the doctrine of the Trinity. How much are you going to explain it? Or if they look at you and they want to know about original sin, how much can you share? When they come to you and you ask you, I want you to know, I need to know more. When I was in Chocowinity, those young men, they drilled me. Brother Donnie, Brother David Elks, they drilled me. There was one night for 50 minutes after service. They asked me everything. Finally, I had to say, fellas, one question at a time. Let me just answer one at a time, please. They're asking me about the final judgment. They're asking me about the tribulation period. They're asking me about original sin. They're asking me about the rapture. They're asking me about doctrine. I'm saying, Lord, you better bring back to my mind. I need help. And you want to know where it's really at? You wait till you go to a carnal judge. I'll tell you what nerve wracks you. Is when you and I talk, we talk biblical. We use biblical language because we know it. Me and Brother Steve have talked about it before. When I talk to you, I can quote these scriptures. I can explain about powers and principalities. But they want to know about our baptism and how that you're saved with baptism and where's your all your written records and where's your cards that says I was saved. Don't you have a document where you sat down with your pastor and he told you all that? And trying to explain spiritual matters to carnal men.
Come on.
It's hard to do. To be quite frank, it's almost impossible. Yeah. And what you have to do is back up. But God told us that when we are delivered, that the Holy Ghost will help us. But you got to have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You need to fight for it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't sit idle and not have it. Fight.
Yeah.
That's what God's been trying to tell us for Sundays. Get in there and dig. We're in a battle. And I'm telling you, we're going to see it more and more in our society. And we need more of the truth embedded in us. We need more of the book in our hearts and minds. That means you got to read. And it takes a fight to do it. You want the best sleeping pill? Pick up the Bible. You'll go right to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that tells me? Don't read at night when you're laying in bed after a hard day. More than likely, you're probably going to fall asleep with it on your chest. It means at some point, and if that's all you've got, you're going to have to fight to stay awake. I'm talking about being men of war. Because that devil doesn't want you to have the truth. That devil doesn't want you to read that book. That devil doesn't want you to apply yourself and take yourself by the shirt tail. It takes effort. It takes energy to pray. It would have been so easy in Charlotte to walk away and not prayed. Easy. I'm telling you, I could have rationalized it away very well. Brother Cottle's coming to meet with the lawyer, and Brother Michael's been tired, and Sister Shami, it's easy to wipe it away. And I physically had to tell myself, okay, it's time to go pray. Are you hearing me? You're going to have to fight. We are in a battle. If you want the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to fight for it. Lord, help me here. I don't understand why we have to fight for a gift. The Spirit of God is a free gift. It's yours. But if there's some reason you ain't got it, fight for it. Don't give up. The last, I don't care how much you've prayed. I don't care how many times you've asked. I don't care how many times you've been to an altar. I don't care how much the devil tells you, well, they're looking at me. Fight for it. You're going to have to overcome those bullets, that those fiery darts that the devil are shooting at you, those lies of the enemy that says you don't, this is watching you, they don't want you, this is against you. You're going to have to fight and shoot back. How do I do that? No, devil, you're a liar. And you have to get up and go after it.
Yes.
I see us doing it. But the very battles we're facing lets me know we've got more of a fight ahead of us. I don't think we're there yet. I'm waiting for that one day when this place erupts. Far more than what we're having. I mean erupts from beginning unto end. But it's not going to happen if we're selfish, if we're setting back, if we're lazy. We're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to lift your voice high. You're going to have to let your body and your spirit go.
Right.
I watched. I'm using this little illustration. I watched little Aaron. Service after service after service. Had the Holy Ghost move all over that girl. And when it would come time for God to fill her, and I mean that power would just fall down on her head, and you could see it literally bubbling out her ears, all of a sudden her little body, well, it ain't little anymore, that body of hers would round in a circle, and she'd scream and loud, and she would let all of that go right out in the scream and the yell. And I stood right there, and the Holy Ghost said, you need to go pray for her and stop her from doing that. So I walked right over there, and here it come again. It was a coming, and I felt her arms shaking. And I knew that here it comes again. That pop-off valve is about ready to happen. And the way she was going to experience this without those arms, that ain't what the Holy Ghost said. That tongue is an unruly member. And when it comes under that power, that pop-off valve comes right out the mouth. And I laid hold on her arms, and I held her. When I felt the spin come, I held a little tighter. When I felt it come, I said, Aaron, let it come out your mouth, and I mean out it come. But you've got to yield it. The hard part about the Spirit is we sit back and we wait and we wait, and we're so afraid because we've read the Scriptures that says, don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That's unpardonable sin. You're going to hell, and you're worried about it, and you saw this one, and you tell yourself, I'm not going to do this unless God does it. We are free moral agents with a sovereign God. Here comes, thank you, Brother Al. Here comes that free will man in contact with a sovereign God. God doesn't possess us with the Holy Spirit. That's what devils do. Devils come in and override you.
Yes.
They override your powers. They override your will, your desire, and they control your body. I want you to know the Holy Ghost don't do that. He is a perfect gentleman that will not override your will. I am not a tongue-teaching preacher. But you have got to yield it. If you don't open the mouth, if you don't praise God, there's nothing going to come out. If you yield it, you feel it. And it's bubbling up and you feel it coming. It's right there. You've got to let it come out the mouth. I'm not telling you to put the words in, but you've got to put the words in.
I don't even know how else to say it.
You've got to give the word. You've got to move the tongue. And I promise you, when you yield and say, here it is, you won't have to wonder whether it was God. You won't have to worry if this is me. Am I controlling this? Or is God over? Is God helping me in this moment? Is God speaking? But you've got to be a willing participant and fight for it.
Right.
Now, I know that's hard. I don't know how else to say it. You've heard it before. It ain't nothing new. I just want to tell you again, fight for it. Dig in there. Yield yourself. You can't clam up. David clammed up, his sheep would have died. If David wouldn't have been willing to grab the bear and say, no, sir, you're not doing it. You've got to be willing and say, no, sir, I'm not going that route. I'm not going to let fear overtake me. I'm not going to, because that's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to tell you, oh, it's just you. It's really not God. It's your emotions. You're worried. You're allowing it. He'll lie to you. And you've got to say no. Have I made sense? I'm trying real hard not to go too far one way and not too far the other. God will not override your will. But in the same token, you've got to participate. Not only do we need truth, we need righteousness. Half the problem is we don't think right. We allow the fear and the worry instead of the righteousness of God to prevail. We will allow those futuristic problems to overwhelm us, and then we'll stop fighting. We'll get into a law, Brother John. We won't even go anymore. Brother Doug was right. It comes to a place where men finally throw in the towel. I can't do no more. I've done all I can do. They'll give up. They'll allow discouragement to set in. And next thing you know, they're on their way. Don't get discouraged. Fight. Fight. Take that discouragement and look and realize that's the devil not wanting me to have this. Discouragement doesn't come from God, I promise you. Fear doesn't come from God. Worry about others doesn't come from God. Concern about other men's opinions of you doesn't come from God. The devil's a liar. He doesn't want you to have it. Not only the righteousness, but the gospel. I heard Brother Doug talking about tonight. About he shared with us that we need to get our minds to think of others. Watched the documentary, a little bit of it. Saw a little clip last night. It said that they are now practicing a medical, what they call it, experience that makes people physically better. It's called helping others. They go out and they start out once a week. This doctor prescribed to people to go out once a week and do something good for somebody. And they did that and they were dramatically increased and they felt better. It brought happiness to their lives. It brought joy to their lives. Now, if they did it 2 times a week, the joy got bigger. I'm thinking, how dumb is this? The Lord has been telling us this since the beginning. That we are to bear one another's burdens. I'm telling you, if you want to get happy, help others.
Reach out. Fight for it. Go do something for somebody else. You've got to fight for it. David realized that this fight was bigger than David. It went for Israel. It came to this whole nation. It was because of his father and his brothers. You know, Brother John, that's what they used to tell our soldiers when they went into the trenches. You're fighting for your family back home. You're fighting for America. You're fighting for your children and the peace and the safety. Now we're fighting so we can have money and a paycheck.
Come on.
And we act that way among Christianity. We come to church to get what we can get. We show up and we pay our tithes so we can be blessed and have more cars. And we've realized that we're in a war. And these are things we need to do to fight. I want to go to Jude tonight. Brother Doug shared exactly what was laid on my heart tonight, the passage he read. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We're not going to win if we're not willing to fight. Jude says the same thing. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Why? He says in verse 4, because men have crept in unaware. We need to fight. It is an hour in which we cannot be lazy. I want you to know Sunday services is not fight enough. We'll get through more if you fight all week long. I've been told you that our fight is with spiritual battles. And Jude writes in the last part of that, he talks about that. The purpose for Jude writing is found in 1 through 4. Then he comes down through and he gives us the final conclusion about this defense against these false teachers. How do you fight against apostasy? How do you fight against these men who have crept in unaware? Because he says, fight. Contend for the faith. Fight for it. If you're going to win, if the faith is going to continue, you've got to fight for it. Because there are men who want to destroy it. But how do you fight against those men? How do we do that? And he tells us in verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Here they are. It shouldn't be something new for you. They told you to fight back then. Men were coming to destroy the church, to tell you lies, and you've got to fight for it. Then he tells us how. These be they who separate themselves. They're sensual, and they have not the Spirit. But beloved, now he tells us what to do. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Believing in things you can't see. You want to know how to fight? You've got to put more trust in God. If God wants you to be saved, you have to believe that. That's what faith is. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. I told Brother Michael, told Brother Cottle and others, God's going to answer this situation with Shawnee. I'm not just telling you that I believe it, Brother John. I will be amazed if it doesn't happen, because I believe it, Brother Gordon. No one's going to tell me that it's not going to happen. Too many things in this case are pointing. You know, one of the things that's hard for saints of God is to pray in the will of God. Now, I know that might be hard for some of you, but it's hard for me. You may not struggle with it, but I do. There's a lot of times I don't know, Brother Al, what God wants. I could look at this and to be quite honest, there's been times where we can say, well, maybe it's God's will that Shaomin go back to China. I do not believe that. I don't believe that. I don't see it. I want you to know there's a vast difference between Mexico and China. China is a communistic country that they will kill you for being a Christian. She can't go homeschool her kids because she can't get on the internet. If any Christian literature, if they went to China and you wanted to send Charmaine a Bible for Christmas, you couldn't send it because they would open the mail and destroy it before it got to her. They are not favorable. They filter all the internet. You can't go online and look up Bob Jones or Rebecca. You can't do that because they filter their internet and you can't access it unless you do it illegally. If you get caught, you're going to prison. I don't see that. And in my heart, in my mind, unless God changes my heart, I do not see that as God's will to send her back. Now, you may differ. I'm not going to argue that point either. But I have to believe it, Sister Knox. And if I believe it, that means I've got to fight for it. That means I've got to take time off. That means I've got to go do what I need to do. I need to participate in prayer. That means it's my job to fight for that in prayer. I can't just tell you tonight that I believe Charmaine is going to get through with it and then not pray about it. That's hypocrisy. That's a lie. That's not being for it. That's not fighting. If we're to build ourselves up in our holy faith, and I ask you tonight, do you believe God wants you to be filled with the Spirit? Then if you say, yes, I believe that, then you've got to fight for it. You've got to pray. You should pray every day. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. That should be part of your prayer every time you sit down, every place you, before you ever say, God bless my cheeseburger, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fight for it. It needs to be come first and foremost. I don't know where you are. Please don't feel like I'm picking on you. But I know that's something that's not only affecting you that are not filled, but it's affecting the church.
Right.
I saw people in Chocowinny who said they had been filled with the Spirit, but it had been a long time since they had felt that power. I said, Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Well, I have been filled. You need it again. You need it again. I said, don't ever be offended if someone prays over you. If you want to pray for Brother Emery and say, I ask God to fill Brother Emery with the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to be offended because I need it today. I need it tomorrow. I need it every day of my life. I'm not going to be offended because you prayed for me to be filled, because that's God's will and I want you to fight for it for me. But in the same token, if I tell you, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I need to fight for it for you. And I need to pray, God, fill them, bless them, help them, show them, open the heart, open the mind, whatever's got to be done. I'm telling you, there's something that stops men from being saved. Do you believe that? Whether it's a lack of understanding, whether it's fear, whether it's pride, Brother John, whether it's arrogance, whether it's just sheer denial, whether it's rebellion, whether it's just because they're stubborn. Something is stopping those people from coming to salvation. And what they have to do is realize what it is. It's the same thing with the Spirit. Now, I know that might be hard, but I'm telling you, there's something. I'm not telling you it's sin. Maybe it's lack of understanding. Maybe it's lack of trust. Paul said, Jude said, if you want to win, if you want to defeat the enemy, if you really want to fight, first things first, build yourself up in your faith. That means you've got to believe God wants it for you. Whatever the situation is, you've got to have the faith. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you convince someone that you love them? I really liked my wife. Liked her. Told the young man before we'd ever went out. I said, I'm going to marry her. He looked at me and said, you're crazy. You ain't dating. I said, I don't know, but I got a feeling. I went after it, Brother Al. I pursued it. I sent flowers. I sent cards. I made phone calls. Why? Because I wanted to enter into a relationship, Brother John. I'm telling you, it's the same way with God. If you want a relationship, you got to fight for it. If you want more faith, you got to ask, God, help me. And when situations come up, And it's hard to see an answer. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Don't stick your head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist. Just believe God to do it. Starts looking for areas. Look for ways. I had to look for opportunities to pass notes, Brother John. Teacher caught them. They took it away. I was in trouble. Embarrassed in front of the whole class. I had to find a way, Sarah, to slip them notes over to my wife. Pass them through friends, sneak them under the table, whatever needed to be done. I found a way, Sister Knox, to get it done. Now I'm telling you, if you want to do something, you'll find a way to get it done. If you want a new gun, you want a car, you need a new suit, you'll find a way to get it. I promise you. You'll do whatever it takes. You want to go fishing bad enough, and it's in your heart enough. If you want to go shopping bad enough, you'll find a way to go. If you got to have a yard sale, you have a yard sale. If you need it, I'm telling you, am I telling the truth tonight? Amen. I'm telling you, it's the same way with our faith. We've got to fight for it. Build yourself up. Look for ways. Look for things to be encouraged and to be strengthened. If there, I promise you, there are lots of things in your life, circumstance after circumstance, situation after situation, to be encouraged in your faith. The Walmart's a good place. I'm talking about fighting. I haven't left nothing here tonight. I'm talking about being men of war and fighting. Walmart's a good opportunity to share the gospel. And when you walk away, I promise you, if you've shared and someone's been encouraged, your faith will be strengthened. You'll feel better about yourself because God is with you. And the words come and you walk away and you'll say, man, thank you, Jesus. I can't believe those thoughts come to me. I haven't thought of that scripture for a long time. If you want opportunities to build yourself up, you'll find them. Am I making sense? Second thing he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know why. First thing you have to do is you've got to have faith. If you don't have faith, there's no need to pray. First thing he says, build up your faith. Trust in God. When everything's falling apart, when things ain't going right and you're not getting it, let your faith be strengthened. If you want to fight against these evil men, against these hypocrites, then build yourself in your faith and pray. Pray. I'm telling you, the best method of fighting in spiritual realms is in prayer. We've got to pray. If we want to see, I'm telling you, between now and Sunday, commit yourself to prayer more than your normal routine. I'm asking you tonight to do that. And I promise you, we'll see a difference. If not only in the whole church, in you, you'll see a difference. I plan to do it because I want the body to grow, Brother Doug. I'm going to make a commitment to do that this rest of this week and now forever because I want to fight. Not only does he say you need to pray. Hang on just a moment. I'm going to let her go. Verse 21 says, keeping yourself in the love of God. When your faith and all these things are low, and it seems like everything's stacked against you. Well, Brother Emery, you just don't know how many times I've asked. You just don't see how I have been fighting. No, I don't. No, I haven't. But you've got to keep yourself in the love of God. It is His love that said, I will send you the Comforter. It is Him who said, I will heal your body. It is Him who said, I will save your family. It is Him who said, I will deliver you from your problems. If you don't remind yourself of that love, I remember Sister Angela not long ago standing and testifying how grateful she was because God spoke to us and told us how much He loved us. Remind yourself of that. Because I'll tell you, you'll look around and there'll be times where it seems like even your church family and others don't love you. You'll feel that. You'll feel that. You're wrong. But you still will feel that. Do you know that to be the truth? And what you have to do is build yourself up and keep yourself in that love. Not everybody else's love, God's love. Remind yourself, Lord, if no one else understands me, you do. God, you know where I'm at and you got to fight for that. You need to remind you, you've got to keep yourself there. It is your responsibility not to get into molly grubs, not to get down and out and let yourself be overtaken, and not to allow what Brother Doug said men do, to grow cold on God, draw away from the brothers and sisters, draw away from reading, draw away from praying, draw away from showing up to God. Don't do that. Keep yourself in the love of God. When your situations are falling apart, remind yourself daily, God loves me. I don't know about you, but that comforts me, Brother Connell. When this old body's failing and I'm hurting so bad and I lay down at night and I can't think of nothing but pain, I have to remind myself, God, I know one day You're going to deliver me. Why? Because He loves me, Brother John.
Amen.
He loves me. And when I'm in problems, when I have pain, I'm in a comfort to know and I have hope to know that my God loves me. It's all going to be all right, and I've got to keep myself there, because if you don't, you will get into molly grubs. You will become a complainer. You will become all distraught. You'll be like the children of Israel. God didn't love us. God doesn't keep us. God's not there. We'll be like Martha, and we'll be over there. Do you really care, Lord? Be like those disciples on the boat when they're about to drown and they look at Jesus. Jesus, do You not care that we're about to die? That amazes me. I shared in Jacqueline, it amazes me that these disciples, that this woman looked at God of all the creation and said, Lord, I know You really don't care about me. That's amazing. We would never brazenly look in the face of God, would we, and say, I know You don't care. I'm telling you, our attitudes and our actions will say it. If we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to get down. We may never voice it, but we'll be so down and out and so bombarded by the cares and those old liars and those men that are trying to destroy the church of God that we'll say, God, are You really there? Do You really not? I'm telling you, keep yourself in the love of God. He cares. He wants you to grow. He wants you to change. But you got to keep yourself there. Not only that, you need to keep looking up. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a lot of preaching right here unto eternal life. If you don't look for the mercy, you're not going to see it. You got to look for it. When the situation seems the bleakest, when it seems the worst, look for mercy. You'll see it. You'll see compassion. You'll see the mercies and the goodness of God. How many times, when you think about it, when you've seen death come to a loved one and you looked at it, it's sad, sad, awful time, but you know there's the mercy of God. I'm telling you, when Brother C.B. Mazzell died and we was in his home, Sister Mazzell's home, the power of God fell in that place and we found mercy. That was the first time I'd ever experienced something like that, Sister Angela. To feel the mercies and the love and the Spirit of God just flow into the heart and sell and tell you and let you assure you everything's going to be all right. But you've got to look for it. You've got to look for it. You've got to want it. You've got to fight for it. That's what he says, contend for the faith. Then he tells us, on some, have compassion. Make a difference. And on others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We need God's direction to let us know when we need to look at somebody and demonstrate love and compassion to them, Brother John, to reach out. And then there's other times when we need God's direction to drop the hammer and say judgment needs to fall here. You need to see it. The end result's the same, that men will be saved. But we need to do that. We need to live, if I can put it this way, the balanced life. There's times we need to look for it and see that mercy of God and demonstrate it and experience it. And there's other times we need to do judgment. There's times you need to bring judgment in your home. There's times you need to bring it in your families and in your own heart and your own life. Drop the hammer and say, I can't do this no more. Because the Bible says those that are spiritual judges all things. And if we'll judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged. If we look at our own lives, that's a hard thing to do. I'm telling you, we get the David syndrome. We get the David syndrome when he commits adultery with Bathsheba. And when the prophet comes in and looks at him and says, there was a man come to a farmer who had many sheep and took away this man who only had one. And David said, where is the man? He shall be killed. He said, you're the one. David couldn't see
his own folly. Too often we're in the same place. We haven't brought the righteous judgment into our own lives. We can see that, I promise you, not here. I'm going to give you a real good illustration of that. Men will look at other people's children and say, boy, they're little heathens. They need to whip that kid. They need to punish. But boy, when your little heathen's running around, it's another story. You can see the heathen in somebody else, but it's hard to see the heathen in your own family. I want you to know, Brother John, I may not always done it right. May not always got it. But I have prayed since my children were little, Sister Woods. God, don't ever let me look beyond the truth of my own family. It's not going to do them any good for me to allow them to go on with their little thing, do their little sin, and pass judgment on somebody else. It ain't going to do no good. I'm telling you, it's not going to do no good for you to look at someone else's life and say, they're doing this and they're doing that, pass judgment on everybody else, talk about everybody else, when you need to work at home. Amen? Amen. We need to fight. I've gave a lot of simple, practical things tonight. I hope they've helped. Yield to God. Give yourself to God. Fight for it. How do you do that? Build yourself up in your faith. That's how we win against the devil. You can't win against the devil if you don't have faith. If you don't trust God, if you don't believe God to win, the devil's going to beat you up all day long. If you don't have mercy, if you don't have love, if you don't see that love, if you're not a man of prayer, if you don't want truth, if you don't want righteousness, then you cannot win and you are not fighting. Fight. Fight. Throughout many historical battles, they would always refer to a lost battle. I shared this in our 4th of July picnic at Bobby's this year. Several illustrations. After the Alamo, when Sam Houston went to his next battle, his men gave the battle cry, "Remember the Alamo." Throughout history, there's been several of them. Several different battles that our country and other countries have went through. And that's what they do, Brother John. They give a battle cry. Remember this. Do this. Our God has been encouraging us these past services. And has been sending battle cries our way to fight. I heard Brother Wood stand here and encourage us. Fight. Don't stand there idle. Pray. Reach out. Cry out to God. You can't get no more of a general than that, than to say win. We can win. I didn't come to lose. I told him in Chocowinity, I come to win. I come to fight, Brother John. But too often, preachers just say, do this, do that. It's a prep rally. It's not a prep rally for me, it's a truth. I'm not just trying to tell you to fight just so that we have a good Sunday service. I'm telling you to fight and encouraging you and standing up here saying, shout, glory, lift your voices, lift your hands, praise God. Why? Because Monday's coming, that's why. Because the next battle's coming, that's why. Because the enemy's going to be waiting on you, that's why. And God is preparing us. God is doing something among us. But you got to fight for it. How many's been fighting? Raise your hand if you've been fighting. I know you have. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Put your hands to the plow. Don't look back and fight. Let's stand. I could have taken this principle a thousand ways. There's been lots of messages preached on being men of war. Brother Hayden did that not long ago back. I remember one of our meetings. He preached on having a warlike mentality, if you remember that message. There's been lots of messages preached on fighting. But I wanted to try tonight to just slow it down and just practically tell you a little bit how you do that. There's practical ways in your life, and maybe I didn't do a good job. I don't know. Build yourself up. Look for opportunities. It's hard to give you exact circumstances. Now, if I wanted to one-on-one, I could probably go through everybody's life and say, well, if you do, when that's happening, do this. When this is happening, you don't need to do that. Here's the principle. Look for the opportunity where you need to lift yourself up. When this thing, if you make a habit
of going to the store and looking for an opportunity to share, it will become easy. It will become easy. The first couple times it's hard. It's very difficult to share with someone you do not know, to pray with somebody you have never met, to share the Word of God with someone you have no idea is going to even understand what you're saying. Because too often we use such biblical language that, to be quite frank, they may not have a clue of what you're saying. It goes so that I've looked at people and I know it's the deer in the headlight. They have no idea, Brother John, what I've said. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can do more with them than our words. We are not commanded to explain every detail. It's impossible to do that. Because what we would try to explain to them, they don't have a clue. But look for opportunities, and God will give you the right things to share with them that they can understand, that will reach to the depths of their heart. Look for those opportunities in your family. Make opportunities to pray. Make them. Fight for them. If you got to change routines, fight for them. I have the worst schedule of anybody in this church, I promise you. Worst schedule ever. You may come to my house and I may work all night long. I may get a wild hair tonight and go home and work till Friday. And then I may sleep through Saturday. I'm telling you, it's right. It's probably quite stupid, but it's what I am. It's who I am. That's what I do. You do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do. Because there's no sin against it. I have the worst schedule of anybody. But I have to find opportunities to make sure I don't neglect my duty, Sarah. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I need to pray. If it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I need to pray. If you have a schedule, you get up at 4:30 every morning or in bed at 8:30 every night, you better find opportunities in that schedule to pray. You better make time to get yourself with God. Whatever you need to do, you need to make the time to do it. Amen? Amen. We need to fight for this thing, church. If we don't fight, we're not going to win. We're not going to see the breakthroughs. You're not going to see your family saved. You're not going to see your children saved if we're not willing to fight. You're not going to receive the Spirit if you're not willing to fight. Amen? I know I've said it a lot. Fight for it. Father, we thank You, Lord, for what You've done here tonight. Lord, I pray that this message will speak to hearts. God, I haven't just shared it out of a time of consideration. Lord, I believe You've brought us to this point. I believe in our services. And what You're doing, Lord, is encouraging us and leading us, Lord, to get closer to You and feel Your presence, to feel Your power, to see it demonstrated into this world. God, many doors are opening for us. Lord, even in our community, in our world, Brother Woods is in Africa tonight. Many things are happening, Lord, and we need to fight for Him. We need to pray. We need to make opportunities, Lord, to see those that are out there fighting among us, Lord, that are laboring and battling, Lord, that we as the congregation are willing to fight for it, Lord. I know that's where we are. I shared what You've gave me, Lord. I ask You to speak to every heart tonight, to direct hearts to do what they need to do. Lord, You know them better than I do. You know where they are. You know how they've been praying. You know what they've been studying. And the direction in which You've leading them, Lord, I'm ask You to continue to do so. Help us to fight. Be with us, Lord. Help us. Speak to us. God, in our frailties, I'm asking You to show us the opportunities, Lord. Make them obvious to us, Lord. Our failure is that we haven't seen them. We haven't taken the opportunities, Lord. I'm asking You to do Your part, Lord, to make it clear to us. Speak to us when the time comes, when the opportunity's there, God, and we'll hear it and we'll obey the call. Strengthen us, Master. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close.